Morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be reading from verse 5 to 6. So it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. So lately, I've been really going through Proverbs, as I've been kind of preaching over the last few weeks, talking about really feeling the need for wisdom, being in the position that I'm in, currently having only been a pastor for a year and whatnot, and having the responsibilities that I do. And lately, having just gone through Proverbs, I feel like there's just been so much insight for my life personally. And I mean, for me, specifically for this morning, I just kind of want to share a little bit with you about what I've been kind of ruminating through, at least for myself. And so before I kind of share a little bit, let me just kind of go through a little bit of teaching about this verse, because I think oftentimes when we're talking about this Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, we use this a lot, specifically in the idea of guidance, right? Anytime our friends need any help, right, we always say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, right? In all your ways acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. And it's great that we know God's word and we can give this, but being on the receiving end, sometimes you're like, okay, so how what does this mean? How do I trust God with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding? And because there's sometimes a difficulty in being able to receive this verse. And the reason I feel like this is because a lot of times when we receive something like this, it is a great verse that we kind of look to God, and we should look to God, and the only person we should look to is God. But how is it that we can take our experiences with God? How is it that we can take something, how is it that we can, in our experience, having not yet experienced God in this setting, now trust him with what we have? And so let me kind of go through a quick little bit of teaching first, because one of the most important words in this passage actually is the word acknowledge. And in all your ways acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. In Hebrew, the word acknowledge actually is yadach. And yadach actually is not just so much acknowledging as in, oh God, I'm going to take something to you, not just taking to him something in prayer, not acknowledging as in when you see someone in a room and saying, oh, hey, Tracy, what's going on? It's not that sort of acknowledge. Yadach actually means to know. And the to know in this sense is not just to know somebody by name, it's not just to know somebody by having seen the person before, having been introduced. The word yadach means to know through experience. And so if I was to give an example I was at Alpha, and this is actually one of my favorite examples, and I'll try not to butcher it because I think I did this as Alpha once and I made it way too TMI. And so long story short is to know somebody in terms of yadach, you really need to know somebody through experiencing them and through relationship with them. That's basically the context of this word. And the best example I have is this, right? So Steph, my wife and I, we've been married now for 4 years, but we've actually been dating we dated 7 years before we were married. And so we've been together for like 11 years already. And so, I mean, in terms of actual length, it's not really that long of a time, but actually that's basically a third of my life. So I always say to her, I've had you for a third of your life, and she's like, I know. Anyway, but in terms of Steph, I would say I know her pretty well. I know her, there are things that we're still learning about each other, there's still things that we're learning in terms of as we grow, but I know her pretty well. And I don't say I know her because I've met her. I don't say I know her because, you know, I know her last name, I know where she lives, or I know that she, the things that she says. But on a day-to-day basis, I experience her. I know what she's like when she wakes up in the morning. I know what she's like when she's, you know, frazzled or getting stressed over something. I know what she's like when she sings one thing, but maybe she may be thinking of something else. I know what she's like when she's having a lot of fun or genuinely enjoying herself. And it's not because she tells me these things, right? It's not because she goes to me, Ricky, I'm really having fun right now. Obviously, she'll do that. But having experienced her and been with her for 11 years, I kind of know her nuances. I can read her body language. I know her because I've been through so much with her. I've been through thick and thin with her. Through my difficult times and through her difficult times that we've shared together, I know her. I can truly say I know her. And so in the context of this verse, the word yadach, that's what it means. To have known somebody through all the experience that you've had with them. And so when Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, He will make your path straight. This word acknowledge is saying this, right? To know God, having experienced His faithfulness before. And so what it's saying is this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Basically what it's saying is, in all your ways because you have experienced Him faithful before. Isn't that amazing? So basically what Solomon is saying is this, right? We're not basing our trust on God just because someone is telling you this verse. He's not saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then you should say, okay, I trust God with everything now. Well, I mean, you should because God is good. But what Solomon is trying to explain to us is this, right? Our trust in God really comes from our experience with Him. Having seen that He's been good to us in the past, having seen that He has been faithful in the things that He's gone through with us before. And so because He's been faithful before, we can look at Him in other areas that we haven't experienced Him, and we can say, God is faithful. I mean, one of the easiest examples I could give is, I mean, I give this all the time, is, you know, when about 3 months ago, the mission team, sorry, more than that, it's about 5 months ago now, the mission team went to Sri Lanka. And when we went, we were supposed to go because we were ministering to a bunch of basically persecuted pastors and families. And many of them had gone through, you know, being imprisoned or their house being burnt down, their churches being destroyed. Many of the stories are actually pretty crazy because even some of the women and the girls, they were persecuted to the point where in the middle of the night, they were dragged out of their houses and taken to prison, and or not prison, taken to the police station. And the people will say, hey, look what they're wearing. They're in their nightgowns, the prostitutes, right? And all of this is so that they would stop doing church. All of this so that they would stop evangelizing in Sri Lanka. And so as a mission trip, we were basically going to minister to people who've kind of been experiencing God, or they know God. They've already been fighting the good fight with God. And I remember going on this trip, and I was like, God, You want me to minister to a bunch of people who already have sacrificed for You? Or You want me to minister to a bunch of people who already know You? Maybe in some ways better than I know You? And obviously I started not so much being worried, but kind of going, what am I going to be doing on this trip? I mean, P. Sam is going to go, but he's already been in ministry for many, many years. And obviously, he's a great teacher, so he's going to have great insight and whatnot. Anil, the director of CSW, who's been doing it, again, for years, right? Obviously, he's going to have this word and all these sort of things give to them. And then there was myself, who was, again, at that time, pastor for 6 months, right? And I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? And so I very remember distinctively when I got there, one of the things God told me to do was pray for healing for these people. And I remember when God first told me that, I was like, what? You want me to pray for healing for these people? That's great. I'm willing to pray for them. But God, they're already going to know about your word and your healing. You want me to do this? And I remember being a little bit worried, to be honest with you guys, a little bit scared, because I was like, what am I going to tell them that they don't already know? But obviously God's like, okay, just do it. And so I ended up praying for them. And I remember the night before, when I was really praying, God, You really got to show up and whatnot. God started speaking to me about this specifically, and he said, Ricky, why are you being afraid? And I said to him, well, God, I have no idea. I mean, I know I've prayed for healing before, but one, I'm in a different country. Two, I've never met these people. You know, I don't know to the extent of their injuries. Three, I mean, I've only been a pastor for 6 months, right? What authority do I really have to bless these people? And God was saying, have I not been faithful to you in the past? And I think with that, I mean, I was quite convicted. And so I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go do it. And I've shared this testimony on the pulpit with you guys before, where there was a lady who was quite old, and basically for 20 years she'd been walking with pain. When she first saw a doctor, basically what happened was she had some nerve damage in her legs. It can't be fixed medically, and so the only choice she had was basically they were saying it's going to get worse and worse and worse to the point where maybe she won't be able to stand because of the pain. And so basically they told her the only choice you have is to amputate to keep it from going any further. And so she said no. And so for 20 years we've been walking with pain. And so this lady, as a 60-something-year-old, she came up and she said, okay, can you pray for me? I was like, yeah, okay. I prayed for her. I was worried because she was 60 years old. I didn't want to... I think a lot of it was spiritual warfare. There was a little bit of fear in me. There was a little bit of worry. And a part of it, too, was because I really felt like I didn't really have much to offer her. But I prayed. I said, in Jesus' name, you know, be healed. In Jesus' name, the pain go away. All these sort of things. And I ended up spending like 5 minutes. A lot of it was just really blessing her and just being like, hey, you know, God's so proud of the persecution, not of the persecution, but of the work that you're doing despite the persecution. And then at the end, I just, you know, prayed, in Jesus' name, pain be gone. I command for healing to come. And at first, really nothing came of it. And so I was like, okay, God, well, I'm just being faithful and obedient, so I'll pray for her. And it wasn't until the next day that we had a meeting outdoors that God really showed his faithfulness to me. Because she gave a testimony and basically said, I've been in pain for 20 years, but for the first time in 20 years, I am pain-free. And she was explaining this with a smile on her face, and she was walking around, 60 years old, darting left and right, all these sort of things. And I, of course, I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, praise God, you know, God is good. Inside, I'm like, oh God, you are so good, right? But this is the faithfulness of God. And to be honest, I never would have been able to do it had I not experienced God faithful before. And so when Solomon's trying to talk to us, saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, all your ways, acknowledge him, know him, and he will make your path straight. He's saying, look, God has been faithful to us before. He will be faithful to us again. And so in all your ways, especially in chapter 3, basically he's talking about wisdom. The first few chapters, really, Solomon is talking about the pursuit of wisdom. Chapter 3 is talking about the benefits of wisdom and having trusting in God. And so one of the benefits of having God in his wisdom is being able to go through anything in life knowing that God has our back. I mean, that's one of the things that one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4, 5, 6 and 7, right? Do not be anxious in everything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. There is a comfort knowing that in whatever we face, we have God. There's a comfort in knowing that no matter what it is that we're going through, whether it's difficulty, whether it's something we've never experienced before, whether it's something that's huge or small, we have God. And so in light of this word yadach and going to Philippians 4, it makes so much sense to us now. Because God has been faithful before, knowing God has been faithful before, we can have peace. We can know that in whatever we face, we have God. Amen? And so in whatever it is that you face, remember, God has your back. But also, the second thing that I kind of want to touch on is this. This word yadach is very specific because another place that this word was actually used in the Bible is actually in the description of Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve and it said, and Adam knew Eve, the word know was also yadach. And so the word know in this case was saying that in their marriage, they know each other through their intimacy with each other. You know, obviously it was just them, whether it was physical intimacy, whether they spent long hours walking along the tree of life, talking and, you know, talking about each other, you know, I don't know, what do you like, you know, what are your experiences, all these sort of things. They knew each other. This is the word that God used to talk about how they knew each other. But you know what's really interesting is, I can tell you, being a married man, there's nothing you can really hide from your spouse. I think all the married people here, they kind of know that, right? They know you. They know the good parts of you. They know the bad parts of you. And although you may try to hide it sometimes, I mean, they'll call you out on it. I mean, Steph definitely tries, hey, Ricky, man, why are you being so unreal? Or why are you being so mean? Or all these sort of things. She knows me very well. But it's not just about knowing us, me very well in this way. The beautiful thing about marriage is, despite knowing each other, we still spend a lot of time with each other, right? There are times when, you know, obviously the good times, it makes spending time together very easy, right? There are times when things aren't going well, it makes spending time together difficult, but we still do it because we're in a marriage. Really, in a marriage, what it means is you're together 24/7, through thick and thin. It doesn't matter whether things are going well or things are going badly. You are in union together. You know each other. This is marriage, right? You can't run away from it. In fact, my wife would expect it of me is that no matter what happens in our marriage, she expects that I'm going to be there, right? Well, you know what's really funny is sometimes when we look at God, and this is something, a revelation I kind of recently have as well, right? When God is talking to us about knowing Him and being with Him, I don't think as Christians, sometimes we recognize the type of commitment that God is looking for when He's talking about a relationship with us. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about the type of relationship Christ wants with us, right? He talks about marriage first, right? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wash her with the word, making her white as snow. You know, wives, submit to your husbands. But really what he does is he takes the idea of marriage and he summarizes it with the comparison of Christ and the church. And so what does he say? Husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. What he's saying is, well, what did Christ do for the church? Christ died for the church. Right? Christ basically did everything he could to serve and minister to the church. And so I find it an amazing thing that God is now juxtaposing between marriage and the church. And this is why. There's an expectation in marriage that we should know our wives and to serve her and to love her. And marriage is a 24/7 thing. There is no time in a day where I am not married to Steph. And so there's no time in the day where I am not serving her. There's no time in the day where I should not be putting her first and thinking about her. But as Christians, are we doing that with God? Are we putting our relationship with God first in all that we do? Is it a 24/7 thing? Because in order for us to know God the way that Solomon is explaining, we really need to live with God on a day-to-day basis. We really need to know God, not just in the good times, but also in the bad times. We need to know God when, you know, when we're through prayer, or whether we're in our day-to-day things, in our work, whatever the case may be, we really should have this sort of 24/7 relationship with God. And I think this is the beauty in which Paul juxtaposes both marriage and the church. Because marriage is all the time. And so should our walk with God. Not just when things, you know, when we're desperate for God, saying, God, I need you, God. You know, I need an answer. God, I need wisdom for this. But even when things are going well, God, I need you today. God, I thank you. I praise you. Even though there's nothing wrong in my life, I'm desperate for you. And so really that should be the basis of what we should desire with God. Not just as something we, or as someone we need when we need Him, but so we can share our lives with Him. So that in everything, right, whether it being honest about the things we struggle with, whether it's, you know, it's okay to pray for things that we need to, right? God desires for us to pray to Him. But more than that, more than just asking for things, God, I want you in my life in every aspect, not just in the things that in the areas of need. That should be the Christian life we should be looking for, because it is in that sort of life that we can understand Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because we know God, because we've seen Him faithful, we can trust in Him. And so I'm already kind of a bit over time, so why don't we close our eyes? Let's really take a minute to really reflect on our relationship with God. Is our relationship with God a day-to-day basis? A 24/7 sort of relationship? Or is our relationship with God sort of like a on a need-to basis? Basically, when you need something, do we look to serve God in all that we do? Or do we simply look at God as someone that can give us things or can provide answers and wisdom to us? I mean, it's okay that there is need. God wants us to need Him and desires for us to need Him. But our relationship with God is deeper than that. Just like in a marriage, it's to know Him. It's to know His heart. It's to have a desire and a desperation for Him. And so let's really respond to God as Janella leads us in a song. Let's really ask God, Lord, will you come? Lord, things may be going well right now, but I'm still desperate for you. And let's really seek Him and seek that sort of 24/7 relationship with Him.
To honor you.
Continue to pray. Let's continue to ask God, help me to know you. Help me to know your faithfulness. Help me to know who you are. Let's just continue to pray. Lift them up. Turn our attention to our community focus. Let's really pray for those battling with cancer. Let's really claim God's word over them. Isaiah 53, that by his stripes and scourging, by the blood poured out for us, that we are healed. We can be healed. So let's really pray. Pray for the families. Pray for those in our community who need God's touch of healing and also salvation as well. Let's really pray that God opens their eyes and hearts, but also brings his healing over them as well. Pray for those suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray for just covering over their families. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for just comfort and peace. turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for those who are looking for work. Let's really ask for God's providence over their lives. Let's ask that God brings favor over them. Let's really ask that in this time that God really protects them and covers them too, especially emotionally. Sometimes it can be quite difficult. They've been looking for work for a long time. So let's really pray just for God to come and just for His uplifting word. Turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for Cambodia. Let's really lift up Grace, our missionary there. Let's really pray for God's covering over her. Let's pray for fruitfulness for her. And also, she's going through a pretty busy time right now. So let's really pray that God will give her rest as well. Pray for Bloom, the organization that she works for. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the girls that they work with. Let's really pray for God's deliverance. Let's pray for Japan as well. As P. Sophia is there, she's also going through a pretty busy time with school. And so let's really lift up Japan and our missionaries. Let's really pray. For IP well in Cascade, let's really pray for the leaders, Rachel, Matthew, myself. If you could really pray for wisdom and next steps, if you could pray for the ministers as well, let's really pray for covering for the families, as many of them are on the front lines, especially with Cascade. So let's really pray for protection, pray for an anointing on them. Let's pray for God's favor and authority over their lives as well. So let's pray. So we pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for our Noah's Ark. Really lift up Pastor Mary and Yi Ling and Ashley as they continue to serve. Let's really pray for the kids and the parents as well. Pray that through Sunday school that they'll know, come to know Christ, and pray that the parents will be able to really partner with Noah's Ark to be able to teach the children. Pray for SP Youth. Pray for P. Nate as he continues to lead and serve in that ministry. And pray for myself and SPU as well. Let's just really pray for the students. Pray that God really meets with them in all that they do. Let's lift up our Thursday outreaches. Pray for SP Lights. Let's really lift up Rainey as the leader of SP Lights and SP. Let's lift up Kelly as well, as sons and daughters as they continue to minister to those in Wan Chai. Pray for Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Tim and Janella and for the rest of the team that will be going out tonight. Let's really pray for God's anointing and blessing and favor over them, that His countenance is on them as well, that when they minister to people that they really see Christ through them. Thank you. Let's lift up our house churches as well. Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West. If you guys could specifically lift up Soho, they're going through a multiplication right now. And so really pray for the new leaders. Pray that God is going to be with them, that the anointing of God is going to be upon them as well. And just pray for God to really speak to the members about it as well. So let's really pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have a God, Lord, that loves us, God, that can bring us wisdom, Lord, who can take care of us, Lord, who we can go to and seek, God, in times of need. More so, God, we thank you, Lord, that we have a God, Lord, that desires a relationship with us, God, that you want to know us and you want for us to know you. And so, God, help us, Lord, to really know you, God, by knowing your word, God, and also by experiencing you, by seeing your faithfulness, Lord. And so, God, I just want to pray for my friends, God. I lift them up to you, God. I really pray for your blessing over them. I ask, God, will you bless the works of their hands? I ask, God, that even as they go today, Lord, will they know your presence, God, and experience you today. Father, I pray against any backlash over them, Lord. Lord, we ask, God, that you just send them, Lord, to be your hands and your feet, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. Have a good time of prayer. We'll see you back tomorrow.